In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan are with us once again for...
We're here.
So you think you're an adult. Here to tell you how Brexit went horribly wrong.
Yes.
Oh no, we probably don't have the time
that
for that. That would take too long.
Yeah.
Right, I'm a woman in my late 30s living abroad and my mother, who I am close to and chit-chat to every day on FaceTime, is in her late 60s, lives alone in small town Ireland. She retired 2 years ago, seems content. She doesn't believe in striving for happiness as it is fleeting. She seems very happy with her routine and reclusive life. She lives alone, has a nice routine, and sees her siblings who live in different places a few times a year. She's old friends, but again, they live in other places and they rarely see each other. I try to get her to be more outgoing and sociable, as I worry about her and how much time she spends alone. As they say, the key to aging healthily is to be sociable. Anything I suggest, she rejects, saying fitness classes are a no-go because she doesn't want to be in a room of sweaty people, and that bridge is just full of old people bitching. Dating is out of the question since she split from my dad over 10 years ago. She is a wonderful, bubbly, attractive woman who can talk a lot. Am I being a good daughter looking at her lock herself away from the world, or should I fulfil some type of daughter duty and keep pushing her to put herself out there? I'm conflicted, as I want the best for her, as she is fab, and I believe she should, the world should see it.
I like this. Because I think as you get older yourself, as a child of parents, I think one of the things that you start to realise is there's this kind of, and it happens without you really realising it, is there's this kind of role swap where you suddenly feel, oh, I'm now responsible kind of for my parents. Mm. And I'm the one who should know what's best for them and tell them what's best for them, and tell them what they should do and what they shouldn't do. And it was one of the lessons my mother taught me in the last kind of 10 or 15 years of her life. And we had a huge big row, I remember, one day about her insistence on going out in the garden to feed the birds. And there was big steps down into the garden and the garden wasn't safe, and in particular in winter. And I forbade her from doing that and said, you can't do that, it's too dangerous. And she, in no uncertain terms, told me to mind my own goddamn business, that she was still in charge of her life.
Yeah.
And if she wanted to go and feed the birds, that was her business. And she knew the risks and she thanked me for pointing them out to her. But she said it was nothing to do with me. And you know what? She was absolutely right. And I think it's the same. This woman describes her mother as being somebody who seems content. She seems very happy with the way that her life is. She lives alone, but she sees her siblings and she has friends who she connects in with. I mean, I can understand her point, because there is that thing that they say now, that loneliness is more damaging to our health than smoking as we get older. But I think there's a difference between loneliness and living the kind of life that her mother is living. She doesn't seem to be lonely. She's not craving, you know, she's not. And she's obviously in touch with her friends. She might be seeing them, but she's obviously, and nowadays we can all be in touch with people in a much better way than before. You know, maybe she's FaceTiming them. Maybe she's, you know, WhatsApping them all the time. So I wouldn't worry. I think that she's doing the right thing. She's in touch with her mum. They chit chat every day. She's close to her. So I think stay in touch, you know, check in with her every so often as to, you know, how she's feeling. And if something changes, then you can help her. But I'm with the mother, like, you know, telling your ma to go out and join a fitness class or a bridge club or anything like that is horrific.
Yeah.
Just because you're a certain age. With all due respect to anybody who's playing bridge out
there.
I'm
sure she's talking to the daughter every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't think she is lonely at all.
Yeah.
So I would leave things well enough alone. Let her be and enjoy her. Enjoy your relationship with her.
Yeah. Somebody already says that mother is living my dream.
Yes.
A peaceful life. That lady sounds great. So leave her alone. I'm the same, says Johnny.
Yeah, no, Johnny's right.
You think, you know, when you grow up, you think there's some point at which you're, you know, you know what you want and you know who you are and that people will respect that.
But that never happens.
And no matter whether you kind of say, you actually end up screaming loudly in somebody's face, I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
Still trying to force you to come along to their dinner party or whatever nonsense is. Yeah, exactly. It is a thing of like, you know, is it her nature or is it just where she's ended up in her life, that this is the way that the life that the mother is having now is. I totally agree with what you're saying, is that, you know, leave, you know, sleeping dogs lie, or whatever the expression is. But there is a kind of a, like, it's like, for example, with my older parents, my dad became very sedentary and he was sitting down a lot. And then as a result of that, he became, you know, his legs become weaker. And I'm going, Dad, you need to get out and do a bit of exercise. On one level, you know, it's his total his own choice to say, I'm not going to bother. But the outcome, if he doesn't, is that it's going to affect him physiologically. And that's going to end up affecting the quality of his life too. So you do have that kind of, you know, there's a tension between the choices that you make and the thing that's best for you as well.
But I think pointing it out, Dad, a little walk might be an idea. You know, it'll help you stay a little bit fit. But it, the choice remains with the older person.
Putting a leash on him and dragging him around the block.
No, but I think that there is an inherent...
That's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that?
There's an inherent ageism in our society that takes away an older person's agency. Do you know what I mean? And they are in charge of themselves. Unless they have dementia or something like that, they are still in charge of themselves and entitled to make their own decisions.
That thing aside, I do think a lot of times in life that the easier choice or the more comfortable choice isn't necessarily even often the thing that we want to do. We pick easy choices because it's just the easy life.
But by the time you get into your 80s or 90s,
you're exhausted.
Yeah, I can imagine me saying, I'm not going for a walk. I'm grand. Like, you know.
I know,
yeah.
I agree.
I'm watching telly all day long.
Actually, that's ageism. Why is dating out of the question for the mum? Maybe it would be fun for her. Well, maybe it wouldn't. Maybe she's reached a point in life, she knows all the drivel she's going to have to listen to doing this.
You know.
And it's just not worth
it. It's not worth the hassle. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what I got out of the dating is out of the question since she split from my dad. It's like she found freedom and went, that's grand. Yeah, I'm not going back.
I had to go. Thank you.
So, I don't think that's ageist, but I think there is ageism inherent in the whole attitude we have to older people very often.
Okay. So she's great.
She's great.
Not to worry about it.
I think
she's a nice daughter. Like, she's a nice daughter and she's worried and she's keeping it. But
and maybe, you know, kind of making sure that every now and again there's a kind of a special event or something where the mum kind of is.
But only if the mum wants to.
No, but sometimes it's not
when
only
I say,
about
Ma,
the
you have
mom.
To get dressed up. Come on, we're going to the... Ma'd be like, I don't want to do that. I hope when I'm that age I can be as selfish as hell.
Oh, I'd love to dress you up.
I think, Barbara, you've nothing to worry about there. Barbara Scully will be feeding the birds when she's 80, that's for sure.
Doing what she wants to do. Going strong.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
I have the unfortunate predicament of having a January birthday. This means that when I suggest to friends to do anything, I met with replies of, I'm broke, I'm doing dry January. And while I understand this, I make an effort for their birthday and it's not reciprocated, which is hurtful. This year, I'm single. And out of the five friends I invited for a birthday dinner, only one has said yes. I'm really hurt. I have nobody else to do something with, especially with no partner to celebrate with or market. Should I just forget doing anything altogether and spend the night alone? Or how do I tell my friends this upsets me? You could say my friends this upsets me.
I'm going to have to tread carefully.
You're
going
to have to tread carefully.
Because Barbara is a January birthday. And
last week was my birthday. Last Sunday. Yeah. It was last Sunday.
And I wouldn't go out with her first.
No,
I couldn't. But you know,
he left me all alone.
I left her all alone doing her own thing.
Yeah.
It's what you wanted.
I'll tell you something this person hasn't mentioned is the present situation can be a bit dodgy as well. Like, it's not just the going out. I got you a bigger present for Christmas, you know, which will do both.
Yeah. Oh, no. God. A double.
That's not great. Like,
no, it's not. And that is the problem, isn't it? The problem is that, you know, on one level, with all due respect to you and other January birthdays, is that I do understand it's just right after Christmas. People are tired. People are broke. January is a long month. It's cold outside. There's loads of reasons why, you know, stepping out and going out and doing something in January feels like it's not for the faint-hearted. But that doesn't take away from, you know, friends' responsibilities to step up and show up for their friends, especially if it's, you know, if this person who wrote the letter in has been showing up to everybody else's birthdays and with a, you know, a gift in hand, regardless of whether it's, you know, what month of the year that is, for them to not reciprocate is a bit mean. You know, from that respect, you go.
Yeah, it is a bit, but I do think that people I do think that people differ in how they feel about their own birthday. Like, I love my birthday and I insist on making a bit of a thing.
Specifically saying that they and want they people obviously to show
do,
up.
But
for
maybe
them.
The friends don't put that much store on birthdays anyway, you know, so maybe they don't get it. They don't really see what the big problem is.
Which is when it comes down to the, you know, this is where the friend who wrote the letter in, who's feeling a bit kind of ignored around her birthday, needs to put the statement out clear to the friends going, you know, it's my birthday next week. I really want to do something.
Yeah.
I really would like us to get together. I know it's the wrong time. It doesn't have to be a big mad session.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah.
Can we just go maybe, you know, whatever it is. I don't know what this person's into or what their friends want to do, but there's definitely a way of framing this
story. But I think that that's part of the problem. I think that, and I mean, I'm not being judgy about this person, but I do think there's a bit of pity me going on and there's a bit of like, I don't want to be the one that organises it. Like, I did put out the invitation and then I expect everybody to jump. But you do have to, especially when it's January, you do have to cheerlead it yourself. I'm very lucky. My bestie's birthday is on exactly the same day as mine. We're exactly the same age. So we can
That's a nice one.
We can celebrate it together if even nobody else does.
Wow.
Because
okay.
There's two of us. So
feeling some tension in the room here. Yeah.
But the other thing is, I know somebody else who, for exactly the same reason, celebrates their birthday, their January, early January birthday in August or September.
Is it the Queen of England?
Wow.
No, it's not the Queen of England. No, and it does smack at that. But yeah, that is an option. You don't have to celebrate on the actual day, you know. I mean, if it's not something that everybody's going to join in on. Oh, there's a feather, there's an angel. You know, then move your birthday. Celebrate it whenever. Celebrate it in February or March or April.
I don't think that's how that works.
That's an idea. Yeah.
I don't think that works.
It does work.
Because it's always going to be not your birthday. You know what I mean? It's always going to be...
It's my birthday celebration. Yeah, but it's a compromise. Life is the way it is. Your birthday's in January. Like, so it's never going to be the big woo that you want it to be, because people are, you know, like you said, they're broke and they're tired and they've run out of energy and Christmas is the morn out. Also, January, if we're living by the Celtic calendar, is still hibernation. It's still time for quietness.
Ah,
it's
stop. So is December then, itself. And then people...
Yes, indeed. But you see, December has all the Christmas yuri-yari going on. But January is time for quiet, reflection, hibernation.
Yeah, and letting your liver recover.
Very prescriptive, Barbara.
Adults should not be selling birthdays. It's sad.
Sorry, wow. Adults what?
Should not be celebrating birthdays. It's sad.
Adults should not be celebrating... Yeah. Ah, God. No adults should celebrate their birthday.
Holy it's selfish God. To make a January birthday about you. Maybe your friends are short on funds or wrecked after Christmas. They have the right to not want to join.
Your birthday is about you.
I know someone whose birthday is Christmas Day. Yeah. So count yourself lucky. They celebrate 6 months later on June 25th.
There you go. Oh,
take the date of your birthday and do it the same day in July. And don't complain if everyone's away on holiday.
But that's my birthday.
Well, then choose a better date. My wife's birthday falls on the 24th of December. So we celebrate her half birthday every year on the 21st of June. That way everyone has the crack and shows up.
There you go.
Says Paul. Boo-hoo, let me guess, that person is a millennial. I've had 42 birthdays all in January and never once expected anything. If you really want to party that bad, just a half birthday, i.e. 6 months later. I see. The thing is, this person's had 42 birthdays in January and obviously nobody ever celebrated them, and it's made him hard and bitter.
It also makes him a millennial, to be honest. I don't know why the accusation there.
Oh, yeah, good point. Maybe they've had 42 birthdays and then some other month.
Stopped having them.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So what?
Not really a problem. Move your celebration to another time and celebrate your own birthday quietly. Buy yourself a bottle of wine. Have a few glasses of wine. If nobody else is going to join you, well, that's the way it is. Get a cat.
Okay. I recently got headhunted for a new role in a big tech company. Congratulations. Ooh. I needed a change and it's a really good package they have offered me. So I'm thrilled. The thing is that the company, while it's a big multinational one, is where my ex-boyfriend works. Mm-hmm. He's been there years and we would be in different departments. I don't know that we would see each other really as it's so big. But I know that when I share my new role, he's going to think I'm stalking him. He broke up with me. Let's just say I didn't take the breakup very well at all. I'm not proud of my behaviour, but I felt blindsided. And generally, he treated me terribly, just cutting me out of his life one day. I went a bit mad, ringing him constantly, calling to his parents' house and contacting his friends, trying to get answers. This was nearly a year ago, so really it should be water under the bridge. But I'm sort of nervous with this new job now. I don't know if I should give him a heads up that I'm starting or if he even take my call. I'm a bit stressed that he will spread rumours about me to my new work colleagues just because of a bad breakup. I know he'll spin it and not own up to his own bad behaviour and paint me out to be the psycho ex-girlfriend. Any advice would be appreciated.
JD Mac. My instinct is that this, I presume it's a woman, is kind of overthinking it a little bit. I mean, I like her honesty about the breakup, the fact that, you know, she didn't take it very well. And it sounds like she was stalking him and all his friends and family for a while trying to get answers. But so I like the honesty. And she seems to have moved on. Or has she? I'm not sure that she has fully moved on. If this new job, which sounds like an exciting opportunity in a company that she wants to work with, where obviously she's getting paid well for it and all the rest of it, is being completely overshadowed by the fact that the guy she went out with and split up with a year ago works in the same place. So I'm not sure that she has really moved on as much as she thinks.
Yeah.
What I would say to her is that, you know, this is a new, there shouldn't be any drama. And I would say nothing to him. I would just start your job. You know, if you're going to announce it on LinkedIn or somewhere like that, that he will see it, fine. And you just start your job. You treat him like everybody else that's there and you don't make any reference to your past relationship. And if he starts spreading rumours, then off you go to HR. Like, I mean, that's not...
Like your characters on The Traitors. Like, just don't talk about your back...
Don't talk about it. Exactly. Just don't talk about it. Rise above it. You've got a new job with new money and that's what this should be about. And you need to park the boyfriend, who, as she said herself, she may not even see because it's a very big company and they're in different departments.
So from my perspective, I wonder, you know, why she went for the job in this place in the first place.
Because that's it's lovely and it's a good opportunity. Yeah. Why shouldn't she just because the ex-boyfriend
accepting your answer, what I'm going to do then is I'm going to accept that narrative. And if that's her narrative, go along with me with this one for a second. Her narrative isn't, I'm going to join this company where my ex-boyfriend works because I'm a crazy stalking lady. It's actually, I'm going to work in this company because it's the right thing for me and it has all the perks and the jobs. If those two possible stories can be presented and she's going to say, well, no, that this is the actual truth. This applies the same details like being in a room where somebody says to her, didn't you go out with him? I heard you were a crazy ex, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not the narrative. That's actually the truth. The actual truth is that I had a bit of a bad moment and I rang his mom once and then I also rang his couple of friends. That was a year ago. I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm here now because I'm chasing my career. She just has to accept that what she's doing is it's about the narrative. If she's allowing the other narrative to come into her head, she's going to allow her future and her own happiness to be destabilized by things that aren't real and aren't true.
But that's more or less exactly what I said. Is that like, is she over him? I'm not sure. If she's over him, she'll be able to go in, look him in the eye, say, how are you doing? Three bags full. Deal with anybody who might say, oh, didn't you go out with him and didn't you turn into a bit of a crazy woman afterwards?
So crazy that you ended up working in the same company as him.
I know. Yeah, they see that.
She shouldn't have to not take a job.
Of course not, but there's nothing in this where she kind of, it gave her any pause, where she thought, maybe that's the one place I shouldn't go to work.
And if she can accept that was an okay place to go to work, then all the other things should melt away as well.
I see what you mean.
So
okay,
I'm saying either there's an issue here or there's not. And if there's an issue here, then it's a murky...
But there doesn't have to be an issue here. Yeah. If she's over it, there doesn't have to be an issue.
Exactly.
You know?
The consensus from the listeners is she's not over him. And the thing is, if she doesn't tell him, he walks around the corner one day and he's like, it's like a bad novel. You know, he thinks, oh my God, she hasn't gone away. And he's running to HR.
But he can't run to HR. He's no leg to stand on. She's entitled to work wherever she wants to work.
Oh, no, of
and
course not.
As she's
not
stalking him around the office, there's no problem.
And I've seen enough kind of like really bad American TV movies to know that, you know, she's not going to get into trouble for being in a job in the same place.
And she might meet the man of her dreams in somebody.
Yeah, until the brakes in his car are working.
Exactly. Oh. It needs to escalate.
She said she was headhunted. That means they came looking for her. They are making it awkward for each other if they make a big deal of this. They should just pretend none of it ever happened. That's the Irish way. Absolutely. But
there's wisdom in that.
It depends whether he will.
Yeah. Well, then he's not over it. If he's going to make a big yoke out of it.
She called to his parents' house.
Yeah, but so what? Like,
the way she phrased that was that,
she didn't throw a brick through their window. She did it once. The door.
I imagine she does it once and she's making it sound like she was, she was, you know, in Silence of the Lambs or whatever. That
she
was
should
one.
Hold her head up high. Fair play to her for getting the job and being headhunted and getting the big money. Now go.
She needs
and
to
do
put
it.
Her big girl pants on and go.
Just go and do
I'm
it.
I'm going to deal with that scenario as it comes up.
And it's no big deal.
And not contact him in advance.
And not contact him in advance.
No, no, definitely not.
Damien says it sounds like her behaviour was really erratic. No wonder he wants to steer clear of her. I'd be weirded out if I saw her at my work too.
Weirded out, right, okay. Cool.
Okay.
But like, I don't know if that's true. I think, like, if you got, everybody knows that the actual breakup period isn't reflective of what went before and what went afterwards. Mm. When you're breaking up, things can be said and behaviours can happen that don't necessarily reflect.
Also, this is Ireland. The chances of bumping into somebody you used to go out with and had a dodgy breakup with, whether it's in a work situation or a social situation or family situation, are always reasonably high.
Anyway,
exactly.
And so, as like, the texter points out, I'd say the Christmas party will be interesting.
It'll be great, crack.
As, if she sees him snogging somebody else. I'll kiss someone then. I live with three other people and for the last 5 months, none of them have ever once bought toilet paper. God. After 2 months, I mentioned it and one of them admitted it must be their turn. So they'd get it. They didn't. And we went without toilet paper for 3 days until I caved.
I'm not.
Two of my housemates are guys, so they argue they don't need to use it.
What?
But they do. And that's disgusting. This year, I've decided that I won't be replenishing our supplies and I've been keeping toilet roll in my room for my exclusive use. They've done a week now with no toilet paper in the bathroom. The thing is, I don't want to be caught short and have to keep bringing it in and out. But if they're not willing to buy it or pay for it, I've no other choice. What's the solution here?
God.
That throws up more questions than answers, I think. Why do men not need toilet paper?
Yeah, and I don't want to contemplate that other than what I have already. And I look, what's the solution here? I think the solution has already been made, which is that unfortunately she's living with juvenile people who don't want to contribute to shared living. And so therefore, it's got to be a scenario where she maintains her world, which is a toilet paper world.
Yeah.
Paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and she has her own supplies and she does what, unfortunately, like she's living in some kind of weird boarding school where she's got to bring her stuff into the bathroom and then take it away with her afterwards. I think I wouldn't cave and I wouldn't be buying it for these guys who are creating a fantasy that they don't use it.
I don't understand why. What is their problem with buying toilet roll?
Money.
Money, bathrooms.
It's
okay.
The most expensive
toilet
thing.
Roll is the cheapest thing that you put into a bathroom.
Yeah.
I think it's about €4.50 for like 9 rolls of luxury toilet roll in Dunn stores.
Luxury, mine.
Luxury toilet roll.
Quilted.
You know, I mean, if you want to save money, surely they'd stop buying shampoo and just use shower gel for everything. Or, you know, they would stop. There's much more expensive stuff that you have in a bathroom than toilet roll. Toilet roll is the cheapest thing. And I mean, all I could think of when I was reading this is like men, like, oh, I bet they don't wash their hands either. Do you know, if they're not using toilet roll, I bet you their whole
Well, then that extends the logic. I don't need to. I haven't wiped anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. So like, they have to have toilet roll and she has to buy the toilet roll. And I would call a meeting and say, lads, you know, mammy them and tell them we need to have toilet. What if they have somebody visiting and they want to use the bathroom? What are they meant to do? There's no toilet roll in there. It's in your woman's bedroom. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's not their toilet roll to, you know, to give to. Visiting people.
No, but if somebody wants to use the bathroom, if they're coming to visit, surely there should be toilet roll in the bathroom. Like, you can't not have a bathroom
it's
with toilet
very,
roll.
Like, it's very, you know, I'm 18 and this is my first house and I'm in college and I've got no money and every penny I have, I spend it on drink and going out. And
well, yeah, I get that a little bit. My middle daughter, when she moved to Melbourne earlier last year, like I was stunned by how much hardship they went through because they were afraid to turn things on. Because they were afraid of the bills. They nearly froze to death in the winter because they were afraid to plug it in a heater.
Yeah.
So I get that. But as I say, toilet roll is not expensive. She should put a levy on each of them. €1 a week will keep them in toilet roll.
Yeah, but they don't seem to want toilet roll.
Yeah, no, having it. It's not. It's an absolute not a luxury item. It is an essential item and they're having it, whether they like it or whether they don't. And it's hygiene and it's everything.
Yeah,
oh, my
it
God.
Is, it's really
it's just
grim.
Like,
It doesn't paint them in a good light at all. And I think it just depends on what the other arrangements in the house are like. Do they actually have other shared...
Maybe they have a bidet.
Yeah, well, maybe they do. Somebody suggested they install a bidet, but that'd be considerably more expensive
than toilet roll.
Water is a big
expense.
Expense.
Yeah, well, I don't think they have a bidet.
John says, I broke up with a girl over 25 years ago, only to see her again last week on a TV programme.
Is that the end of that story?
That's John's story.
John, that's what TV programme? What was she doing?
Hopefully it wasn't Crime Call.
What was she doing? How hopefully did you feel when you saw her on the television?
Yeah, and has she gone on in life? Would you look at her, John, and think, oh my God.
John does.
Was she a presenter or a contestant?
I don't know. She could be
the news.
She could be like president of Norway or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think John realized the error of his ways when he saw her on television.
I think he did.
I think John is sad now.
John. He's sad now.
I want to know the rest of the story, John. Yeah. Send in the rest of the details, please. I want to know.
If the situation was reversed and it was a man who behaved this way and ended up working in the same place as an ex-girlfriend whom he borderline stalked, you wouldn't be giving the same advice you gave her. You'd be saying, don't take the job.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
How dare you cast aspersions on my bias? I presume that's aimed at me.
No, it's both of you.
I
would imagine.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, well, that's nonsense.
Well, would you know, Barbara? Like, imagine this guy. I don't know. I'm just being devil's advocate here.
Yes, of course. No, of course I would give the same advice. Of course I would. There was nothing threatening about her stalking. She called to his parents' house and she rang a few of his friends. That's not really stalking in my book.
No, that's...
Especially
that's
if it's in the immediate aftermath of a breakup that she didn't see coming.
I think it's...
That's
like,
okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. It might have been the cleverest thing to do, but it's not really... here comes John back. Do we have the rest of the story?
No, we don't know. She was too quick to point out she was headhunted. She is stalking him. Few texts on toilet roll, though. Toilet roll is awkward. Though always a huge package that won't fit in a backpack. That's the reason for not buying it. Maybe the lads are keeping their own toilet roll stash in their rooms and secreting it in as needed, Miriam suggests. I used to work with a lad who used to steal toilet roll from the toilet in work. And Dave says, I was in a house and nobody bought toilet roll. We used coffee filter papers. Lol.
That'd be way more expensive than toilet roll. What?
Also, like,
it'd be hard on your bottom.
Filter paper, by the very name implies, things get through it.
Right.
Did you wash your hands afterwards, Dave?
That's literally the dregs.
That's now,
literally the dregs.
Yeah, but
your bottom might smell nice. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.